future markets.
Stock futures on Wall Street suggest things will open higher this morning. Traders seem to be encouraged by the news about Greece. Iran says it will retaliate if Israel or any country launches a strike against its nuclear facilities. Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev says the international community simply cannot allow Iran to build a nuclear weapon.
We argue that if this regime that has no respect for international convention of normal behavior, a regime that's broken the rules and continues to break the rules, if they get nuclear weapons, that's a threat to both regional peace and to world peace.
Oil prices are on the rise after Iran cut its exports to Britain and France. Prices are over $100 a barrel. The AAA Travel Club says gas averages $3.56 a gallon nationwide. That's up nearly 9% since the first of the year. Jury selection starts today in the trial of the Philadelphia priests accused of sexually abusing boys in their church and the alleged effort to hide the abuse. CNN's Tommy Andres reports.
Last year, a grand jury charged four Philadelphia Catholic Archdiocese priests and a parochial school teacher with sexually abusing boys in their care. The charges were unusual because they went beyond accusations against priests. A church higher-up was charged with covering up the abuse, which church experts say had never happened in the United States before. All five pleaded not guilty to charges against them in April.
A man in an Afghan police uniform opened fire on NATO troops in Afghanistan and killed one. An Albanian soldier was killed. An American was among three troops wounded. Former head of the International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn's back in the news. This time he's facing questioning by French investigators about his alleged involvement in a prostitution ring. This is CNN Radio.
January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. For legal residents of the U.S., UK, Canada, excluding baggage and handle. And 229 call for rules at ConstantContact.com.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped. Neuroman, call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
Two celebrity moguls are set to make similar news today. Reports say Sean Combs, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy, will announce today the launch of a new music-oriented cable channel called Revolt. It likely will be up and running before the end of the year. Also today, Magic Johnson is set to announce a channel called Aspire, which will feature a wide variety of programming. Both networks will be carried first by Comcast following a pledge to encourage minority ownership of new channels. Fresh concern over oil supply from Iran following nuclear program sanctions is helping send oil futures up again, rising $1.30 to $105 a barrel in early trades. There's fresh concern high oil and gas prices could harm our economic recovery 4 years after record high gas prices preceded the 2008 economic collapse. European stock markets near flat even after Greece and the European Union finally struck the long-awaited Greek bailout deal. S&P futures are gaining 2 points. NASDAQ futures up one. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer, but I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
GMC Certified Service, this is Dennis.
Yeah, this is Rob. I need you to look over my GMC Terrain.
You sound like a 50,000 mile man, Rob.
51, actually.
51,163, am I right?
Impressive.
That's what we do, Rob. And the answer to your question is yes.
Pardon?
Yes, we'll check your suspension for you, no problem.
And you'll also look
definitely,
at
that and the brakes.
professional-grade service for your professional-grade vehicle? GMC-certified service experts are speaking your language. Technicians who make the grade. For a limited time, retail customers can get AC Delco Professional Durastop ceramic brake pads installed for only $74.95 or less per axle after $25 mail-in rebate debit card. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Offer ends March 31st, 2012. Tax and other services, including turning or replacing rotors, are extra. Visit GMCCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Tuesday, the 21st day of February, 2012. And a pleasure to be with you, as it always is. What a gift I am given on a daily basis. And I am mindful of that as I work through each and every day. You know, just because the show ends at 9 doesn't mean that our lives end at 9 o'clock. And I do hope that you are aware of that. I do hear from many of you throughout the day, whether it's via email or you call my office. But you're always welcome into my life. There's no question that I enjoy each and every one of you. Well, for the most part. And of course, I try to stay very active with you folks online after the show via our online presence, the First Shift Facebook page. For those of you that have continued to support us there, I appreciate that. Of course, if you have not had a chance to get over to Facebook and like First Shift, all you need to do is go to Facebook, search for First Shift. You'll find it easily enough and like it. Ask a friend to like it as well. We are gearing up towards 1,000, less than 70 away as of this morning, and would love to get to that $1,000 or $1,000. Oh, sure, $1,000 would be nice. That 1,000 figure soon enough. On the show today, we have major news from Chris Mihalakis, who will join us in the 7 o'clock hour as he always steps aside his usual time, the third Tuesday of every month, for Cindy Estrada, who will be with us from the UAW. But Chris has major news today. Some of you already know what that news is if you read the papers. You know, but we'll save that announcement for after 7 o'clock this morning. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift today. Cindy Estrada, again, with the United Auto Workers, will be with us. And she will be talking immigration rights this morning. And Jeremy Moore is a late addition to our program this morning. Jeremy is actually a graduate research assistant, and he wants what many graduate research assistants want. He wants to be treated fairly. The state legislature has another idea, especially when you're a Republican. The stuff you try to get away with, well, we're going to hold them accountable. We'll get to all that this morning, but let's get things going with this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Consumption. Consumption. Those things that we consume, whether it be information, food, I don't know. Anything that can be consumed is consumed. Consumption is something that you need to be mindful of. Because it's not just necessarily what you consume, but what you do with it after you consume it. Certainly your body will process food in a certain way. Takes its nutrients and other things. Information, of course, reacts a little differently after you ingest information. How you react to it, what you do with it, has a great deal to do with how something may or may not end up. Consumption can be a very negative thing, can also be a very positive thing, and it is all on how you deal with it, period. And so as we look to our futures, as we look to the issues that affect us most often, as we, especially on this show, focus on making a difference, providing an opportunity and a path to truth, consumption of information is important. interestingly, people do consume and filter things differently. And as an example, if we use the food analogy, where one person might love calf's liver, somebody else can't palate it. Well, that happens to be the same as with the truth. As we provide the truth on this program every single day, as we are mindful, those on the right consume that truth. They don't always like it. It is not always palatable to them, because oftentimes the truth is uncomfortable and maybe a little distasteful. Anyway, today's first word is consumption. And we turn our attention now to Jeffrey Ratford, certainly consuming, although a very quiet day in the world of sports yesterday. The Tigers pitchers and catchers and some of the position players have shown up, Jeff. And, of course, that means we are just a few short weeks away from spring.
How about that, huh?
Well, you know, you and I had this conversation at the end of the baseball season. We said, how are we going to survive without baseball? Well, we found a way, and now we are getting it back, so we don't have to wait. We can start talking about spring training. It'll be a couple weeks before they start playing some games in the spring training world, but that's okay. It's only a couple weeks away. I'm ready for that.
It wasn't that long ago that you were saying, how are we going to live without football? So,
and I'm still wondering. I talked to my dad on Sunday. I said, how you doing? He goes, I miss my football. I understand, Pop. I understand. I miss my football, too. But we have to get over it, Jeff, because it's over until it's over. What, are the combines next week?
If you say so.
I don't watch it, so.
Yeah, neither do I.
Not something I watch. And then, of course, free agency is coming up, and then we've got the draft. I do pay attention to the draft, as do you.
Oh, yeah. That's a holiday. That's it used to be, anyway. They used to have it where it would be the first three rounds one day and then the rest of the draft the next day. And it was like we'd all get together, me and my friends, and just, I mean, it would be like nonstop hours of watching pointless picks. Guys, you know, that you're learning about as they're getting picked, because, you know, they'll go through it. And we'd be flipping back and forth between ESPN and NFL Network. And, I mean, it was like from Friday night to Saturday, all day Saturday, I think. It was, you know, don't even try and get a hold of us. I mean, that was what we were doing.
Yeah, Anthony's a pretty fervent fan of all things NFL related, the draft and so on and so forth.
Now, see, the NBA ruined their draft. Their draft is not nearly as exciting anymore. I can't get into it after the first 10 picks, or even then. I mean, I guess if the Pistons are picking pretty high, it's, you know, you watch their first pick, but then, you know, it's not that exciting. The NBA draft used to be really good back in the day, and now it's the NFL draft is the top one. And I would say, you know, surprisingly, the MLB draft, at least the first round, now that they televise it, is pretty good.
They now televise it?
First round, yep.
On the MLB network?
Yeah.
I don't know that we... And Anthony, do we have... Ask Anthony if we have the MLB. I don't think we have the MLB network.
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
Yep.
What channel is that?
700 something.
Okay, all right. I can't count that high. I don't go up that high. Obviously, you don't spend a lot of time watching the Major League Baseball Network, do you, eh?
Actually, I do. They have the best network out of like the NFL, the NBA, all of them. I like the MLB network.
Really? Why? Is there a particular reason
the
why?
People they have on there.
Okay.
NFL Network's close, but he's right. MLB Network is outstanding. I mean, they've gotten they've poached people from ESPN and all the other different sort. You know, they actually, I think they got Peter Gammons too. I mean, they've got people from all over.
Oh, I will say that the NFL Network, a lot of the guys that they have on there seem to be retreads and also rans, and not necessarily the top even three tier people. So. Oftentimes when I turn on the NFL network, they're just bloviating on stuff that doesn't matter. And it's all based on an individual's opinion that isn't all necessarily based on facts. And
still better than CBS, though. Jeez, those guys are boring.
Well, I don't really watch CBS enough to see
well, you don't
sports
watch the,
enough.
Well, I guess because the Lions aren't on there. But when they play, when an away AFC team comes in, they're on CBS. Nice, you know, like when CBS covers their Thanksgiving Day game, it's just like, good Lord.
Yeah, again, I don't watch enough of it to really garner an opinion. So, anyway. Okay, well, I didn't even know I had the Major League Baseball and MLB Network to begin with. So, that'll tell you how much I pay attention to the cable lineup. I don't watch a lot of TV, period. And when I do, it's mostly reruns of old sitcoms.
I was thinking about buying MLB.TV this year.
And doing what with it?
Well, you pay $120, and you can watch any game ever throughout the season.
Okay.
On your computer, anywhere you want.
If you think you're going to get your money's worth, go for it. I you know, that's a personal thing, but that's nothing I would get my money's worth on.
Oh, it's pretty cool. You can use it as a DVR. You can go back and watch past games. You can listen to the radio broadcast of any, either
home
or away.
See, again, baseball for me is kind of like hockey. I mean, I'm a homer. I'm a Tigers fan, and that's it. There's no other team I want to follow or will follow. I'm a Tigers fan.
It's gotten really weird for me for baseball because I will watch, I like watching Angels and Giants games. I'll watch, just random baseball. There's some teams I can't watch. I have no interest in their players and their style of play. But until this year, the Angels were always exciting because they would manufacture runs. Now that they got Pujols, it'll be interesting to see what difference that makes. But anyway, the point is, football used to be that way for me. I'd just watch any game on Sunday. There's times now where, I turn the matchup on and I'm like, geez, this is horrible. The Lions are Tebow.
See, I'm the other way. I can watch any football game. I don't care how bad it is. I can palate any football game,
I see there's certain teams that I get excited for, but there's certain teams I can't.
Same with me. I mean, yeah, there are certain teams I enjoy watching more than others, but, that's just when it comes to baseball, they have the Saturday game and all that, I if it's not the Tigers, I don't watch it.
That's right. The Saturday game of the week moved this year. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Tonight.
What? Tonight, yes.
Saturday night instead of Saturday afternoon.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. The Tigers will be on a lot of Saturday evenings. That's all I know for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're going to be a team to watch.
Yeah, they better be. With that payroll, they better be. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. A lot to get to on the other side. We've got, a lot to get to. We'll kind of line it up as we go. I want to remind you that you're always welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. The email address is tony@thetonyshow.org and on Twitter @TonyTruppiano. Let's take a break. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Let's get it going.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't be surprising if Donald Trump endorses Mitt Romney because they both like firing people and they both made millions doing it.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine on the freeways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns until 3 o'clock today. 12-mile road westbound ramp to southbound 75 will be closed. Just a heads up. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain and a chance of rain and snow later on today. A high near 42. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow before midnight. And a chance of snow afterwards. Mostly cloudy. A low red around a freezing mark. Then Wednesday, partly sunny. A high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I've got an article in front of me that says foreclosure settlement total to state up to almost $800 million. And Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Register of Deeds in Ingham County, joins us now. Let's talk about what this particular settlement is about.
What it has to do with is the some of the improper practices in the servicing of mortgages and selling of mortgages in the mortgage industry. It's only with the five major banks, which is a reduction from the rumor settlement that was supposed to include MERS and their actual document mills. And that's a good thing, actually. Also, there's no criminal immunity in this, so it only actually limits what states can actually sue for. Yeah, I'm not saying I support the settlement because, in many ways, the devil's in the details. And until we actually figure out exactly what teeth are in the settlement and everything that's included, there's a lot of questions to be asked. But I do want to say there are some positive things, and this does not mean our fight's over.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trippiano. Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome back. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Jeff, so that I do not forget, of course, you ignored the email I sent yesterday. But Joey McDonald is now officially the Red Wings' backup goalie. Ty Conklin needs to clear waivers today or else. A little bit surprised, but not entirely. And so onward and upward for the Red Wings. They now have their goalie situation all figured out nice and neat-like.
And Joey, Jimmy's back tonight.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Anticipate that they'll have a good game out of him. No question about it. He's well rested, that's for sure. You know, that's one of the things that people, you know, you think about a professional athlete playing every night and then they don't play for a while. You know, we talk about getting, you know, shaking off that rust. At some level, it almost seems counterintuitive. You know, you get rust, so when you come back, you should be, you know, it's not like you're not practicing. Is it the speed of the game that you have to get back up to speed on? What's going on?
I would assume that's it. Yeah, reaction time. I mean, you can only do so much in practice. The actual games are much different. I mean, and one of the things that points that out is Lynn's sanity, right? I mean, the guy goes to three different teams, practices with them, and can't show enough to get put into the starting lineup. Even with the team he's with now, they were about to cut him. If he didn't start that game that started this whole streak, they were about to cut him and just let him go. So he's not showing anything in practice, but in the game times, you know, game situations, he steps up big. So sometimes, I mean, practice doesn't show you everything. And I think with an injury, with like Jimmy Howard, he might be doing well in practice, but the game would call for scenarios and situations that are, you know, maybe a little faster, a little quicker reaction time.
Let me ask you, speaking of reaction, not reaction time, but reaction, your reaction to the story that came out yesterday that ESPN fired an employee because he used a racial slur inadvertently, used a racial slur in a headline. The slur was in regard to Lynn, and it was the chink in the armor. I really felt that ESPN way overreacted. I mean, way overreacted. But have we become so sensitive that the political correctness just rules the day, and we, even though we can easily, you know, walk through how something like this would happen, it's never going to be enough anymore?
See, I don't think that they overreacted, and I don't know that we know all the entire story either. I mean, you just know that the headline got put up there, and 45 minutes later, he got taken down, and then he got fired. If he knowingly did it and thought, oh, this is funny, I'll get away with this, and, you know, made comments like that to his fellow employees, you don't think that that's worth firing?
No, sure don't.
Oh, I sure do. If he knew knowingly put it up there, like, well, this is gonna be a funny joke. Your whole job as an editor is, you know, to edit stuff that, like, you know, catch this stuff.
Why are you making the assumption that that's what happened?
I'm saying if that is. I said if.
All right, okay.
You're making the assumption that it was a mistake.
But there was a conversation that happened. Jeff, come on. They didn't just say, hey, listen, you know, we don't really want to know what happened. You did it. We've got to fire you. There's no way we cannot fire you.
Okay.
Okay, that didn't happen. What they said was, was this deliberate? Now, they got to take the guy at his word, right? They have to at some level. Got to take the guy at his word. He said, no, I didn't mean it that way. Come on, that would be ridiculous.
And yet they fired him anyway. So
yes, and wait a minute. It didn't just they fired him. He thanked them for firing him. Oh, I completely understand why they would do this. I don't find them at fault at all. There's no harm done. Come on, that's coercion. He was coerced into making that statement. There's no way he gladly and gleefully took this firing because, damn it, it's just the right thing to do. It's ridiculous.
So now what do you think happened? You got a conspiracy theory about what actually went happened behind closed doors?
There's no conspiracy theory at all. They way overreacted to a simple word.
Then why would he thank them for firing
him? Because they forced him to do that. They forced him to sign that. They said, you know what? We're going to give you a little bit of a severance check, but you're going to have to sign this exactly the way we write it up.
And they would do this because why?
To cover their asses.
Well, that's the thing. There's a conversation that took place. You said that. And then they decided, well, why don't we just overreact? Or maybe something came out in the conversation. It's like, okay, why don't we nip this in the bud before it gets too out there?
Wait a minute. If indeed he did something wrong, then be honest about it and say, you know what? Yeah, he did mean it in a racially insensitive way, and that's why he was fired.
Oh, they owe that to people?
Sure they do.
They handled their business. They took care of things. Think about this. It's not the only. This isn't like the only thing that happened. You know, that night, the play-by-play announcer for the New York Knicks used the exact same phrase. In an interview, an ESPN anchor used the exact same phrase, and it slipped out. And
that's my point.
Incidences happened before that, and then all of a sudden your editor thinks it's funny to throw a headline up there. Two incidences happened right before that and got backlash, and your editor makes the same mistake. That's not right.
Okay. Well, you and I are just going to profoundly agree to disagree because I think that the ESPN to the extreme are being so politically correct that they're making themselves look like asses. I think ESPN looks stupid for doing what they did.
Your job as an editor is to make sure that stupid mistakes
like this
don't happen.
You know what? I've been an editor, Jeff. I've been an editor. I've managed more people than most people in this audience will ever manage. I've owned restaurants. I've owned a PR firm. I've owned lots of different things. I've had lots of different employees. This, my good friend, was a severe overreaction to a... And again, even Jeremy Lin wasn't offended by it.
What if this thing that happens with this guy a lot? What if he has a record? What if he has an incident?
I don't know that. All I know is what they're telling me. And based on what they're telling me, it's a severe overreaction. I can only go on the information I have, Jeff. I can always only go on the information I have.
I understand, but I would say slow down until we figure out, you know, you're making it sound like ESPN's just like, okay, done.
It's the way that they forced him to apologize, you know, gleefully taking this firing as, you know, I understand it was the right thing for ESPN to do. I completely embrace the spirit in which they're doing it. Bull crap. Come on, who's ever happy to be fired over something like this? No one. I'm sorry, I just think it's dead wrong, and I don't think that ESPN serves anybody. Especially society. Listen, we have become so sensitive to all of the little intricacies of the English language that it makes no sense to me. Somebody had this conversation with me the other day. And this guy was serious. We're talking on the phone, and he said he was talking about working with African Americans. Now, and the guy says to me, listen, I've never met you in person, so I don't know if you're African American, and I don't want to offend you. I said, what the heck are you talking about? He says, well, I wasn't sure if I should call, you know, if I should say black or African-American. And this guy was, like, really uptight about it, Jeff. It's like, wow, see, this is what society has done to us, that we're afraid to say anything for fear that we will offend people. It just blows my mind. A quick break, more to get to on the other side. Stay with us. I promise you that I am not so politically correct that anybody on this show will get fired for doing something as simple as talking or, I don't know, writing a headline. Sweet God. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine on the freeways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns. Just a reminder that 12-mile road in both directions at I-75 has the left lane closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain and a chance of a rain-snow mix as we move on through the day. A high near 42 tonight. The rain-snow mix sticks around and switches to all snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around freezing. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, pretty nice, a high near 45. Right now, it's fair and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
If an apple a day keeps the doctor away, will Apple Inc.'s public image get healthier now that it has hired an organization to monitor labor abuses in the foreign factories that make its products? Practically all of the 70 million iPhones and 30 million iPads that the computer giant sold last year were produced in Chinese factories that don't exactly shine with good working conditions. One of the largest, for example, was recently exposed for 72-hour work weeks, forced overtime, child labor, chemical poisonings, deadly explosions, and other rottenness. However, after years of refusing to allow any independent scrutiny of such facilities, Apple honchos have now thrown open the doors of its foreign suppliers, loudly announcing that an outside group called the Fair Labor Association would be free to inspect their Chinese factories. Bravo, right? Apple CEO Tim Cook positively glowed with self-satisfaction, declaring that workers everywhere had the right to safe and fair workplaces. And now he pledged FLA would be able, quote, to independently assess his company's performance. Independently? Not so fast, bucko. It turns out that FLA is notorious among anti-sweatshop groups for its coziness with corporate interests. How cozy? It is largely funded by its corporate members, the very firms being inspected. Indeed, in January, Apple became a corporate member of FLA just in time to go public with its new pledge of openness. Scott Nova is head of the Worker Rights Consortium, a legitimate anti-sweatshop group. As he dryly observed about the FLA-Apple deal, independent monitoring means you're generally independent of the companies. This is Jim Hightower saying, to find out if FLA does an honest assessment or just polishes the apple, go to workerrights.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Union. Solidarity. Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, welcome back. It is Fat Tuesday. That means for those of us in Metro Detroit, Punchki Day. Jeff, any sign of Punchkis in the building yet?
Nope.
Now, that's unfair. We start too early. I mean, even if we wanted to stop and get Punchkis, we wouldn't have been able to this morning. There's none. I mean, I don't know about where you. I don't think you pass any bakeries on your way here, do you?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Just got to hope someone brings them in.
Well, you know, it seems only fair, don't you think? Wow. So that's my segue. The reason I brought Punchkis up, it's my segue to the test tube meat story you sent me yesterday.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me set this up. Jeff sends me a link to the story yesterday, and the headline is Test Tube Meat to be available this fall. The world's first test tube meat, a hamburger made from a cow's stem cells, will be produced this fall, according to Dutch scientist Mark Post. Post's aim is to invent an efficient way to produce a skeletal muscle tissue in a laboratory that actually mimics meat and eventually replaces the entire meat animal industry. The ingredients for his first burger are, quote-unquote, still in a laboratory phase. But by fall, he says, we have committed ourselves to make a couple of thousand of small tissues and then assemble them into a hamburger. Post is chair of physiology at Maastricht University in the Netherlands, and his project is funded with 250 euros from an anonymous private investor motivated by care for the environment, food for the world, and interest for life-transforming technologies. Post spoke at a symposium titled The Next Agricultural Revolution. Speaker said that the aim is to develop such meat products for mass consumption to reduce the environmental and health costs of conventional food production. So you're saying that there's no way you would eat test tube meat, huh?
Does not sound good to me
at
all.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, in a world full of gastronomic delicacies, test tube meat probably isn't on my top 3,000 list.
Where does it rank with Punchki and test tube meat?
Punchki would, you know, if we were counting, you know, just one and two, Punchki would be one. Test tube meat would be 9,047. Yeah, test tube meat. Animal farming is by far the biggest ongoing global catastrophe, according to this organization. More to the point, it is incredibly ready to topple. It's inefficient technology that hasn't changed fundamentally for millennia. There's been a blind spot in the science and technology community of livestock production as an easy target. So they are working to develop and commercialize a product that compete head-on with meat and dairy products based on taste and value for the mainstream consumer, for people who are hardcore meat and cheese lovers who can't imagine ever giving that up, but could be persuaded if they had a product with all taste and value. I just don't see the day. I just don't see the day. Honestly, Jeff, that I'm saying, you know, why don't we go grab a couple burgers, test tube burgers, at the local bar and grill. And
something tells me they wouldn't require you to put test tube in front of them, though.
Well, you gotta wonder, because, you know, we do have these pretty strict labeling laws. So it does make you wonder if they would say, you know, this meat was produced from test tubes. And
Well, I don't know if you ever heard that rumor about Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's why they don't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. They could just put KFC on the sign.
Yeah.
It's because they were growing their own chickens.
Yeah, which of course isn't true. But
it worked. I mean, I steer away from KFC.
We just had KFC last week.
I can't. Their biscuits, though, unbelievable.
Oh, don't even get me started. Don't get me started on those biscuits. Wow. Yeah, see, now you got me going. All right, yes. In fact, we had KFC last week. I'm not going to go there. Okay, so let's talk a little presidential politics. A week from today, by the way, is the big primary. Got a lot of email yesterday after Mark Brewer. We got an were you a little surprised by the amazing response we got to Mark Brewer yesterday? I mean, we got a really big response to him yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That was more than usual.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And then I got a lot of emails. A lot of people still confused about the primary. So let me just clarify one more time. Folks, you can go to the polls next Tuesday as a Democrat and vote as a Republican, and it's absolutely fine. You will not be burdened in any way, shape, or form. Okay? It's completely legal to do it. Don't worry about it. Latest polls, Jeff, show that the presidential primary is tightening. Former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney look to be headed for a close finish next Tuesday. Of course, there's another week, so all kinds of things can happen. The latest surveys came as the candidates continue to step up their presence in Michigan. Rick Santorum toured West Michigan yesterday, and Mitt Romney announced he would visit Macomb County today. By the way, U.S. Rep. Ron Paul, who is Jeff's favorite because of the delegates thing. Anthony told me what glee you get out of hearing him do that every time.
Oh, he does too. We both crack up.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. I'm saying that in a good way. But anyway, Ron Paul will be at Michigan State. What day? The 26th, which is what, Sunday? Yeah, I believe it's Sunday. And then he'll be in Hudsonville on the 27th, which is Monday. Okay, whatever. I don't even know where Hudsonville's at. One of the new polls from Foster, McCullen, White & Associates and Baydoun Consulting, Detroit area firms that work with Democrats, showed Santorum at 37.4%, Romney at 33.8%, Paul with 8%, and former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich with 6.9% of the vote. The survey was of 2,106 likely Republican primary voters, was conducted February 16th, and had a margin of error of plus or minus 2.14 percentage points, which I find really interesting. Additionally, the poll showed Rick Santorum with the lead outside the error margin in 8 of the state's 14 congressional districts. And this is, Jeff, where it gets interesting, because Mitt Romney will win Southeast Michigan. Rick Santorum could potentially win the rest of the state and end up with more delegates, because Michigan's not a winner-take-all state. So they'll actually split up some of those delegates. So Santorum could actually end up with more delegates than Mitt Romney. And in my world, I don't know about your world, in my world, that would mean Mitt Romney would lose the state of Michigan. But that's just me being practical. Another poll from the firm We Ask America showed Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney at 29% each, Ron Paul at 12%, and Newt Gingrich at 10%. So that shows them a neck and neck. It should be interesting. Governor Snyder was on Fox News yesterday and spoke about Mitt Romney's chances here in Michigan. This is what Governor Rick Snyder had to say to Fox News.
Well, Michigan's in the focus now as a practicum mayor, because it's hard with all the primary schedule that the candidates go through. It's amazing how hard they have to work for this process. Uh-huh. But now Michigan's in the spotlight, and I think we're going to see a real response as people have a chance to hear from Governor Romney more. There'll be a lot of TV advertising. There's appearances, and people are talking about it. So he's going to come up strongly in the polls, I believe.
Okay. I mean, do you realize that Jeff, he just said nothing? He really said absolutely nothing?
That's a politician.
You know, I got to tell you, Rick Snyder has, for a guy that didn't know what the hell he was doing a year ago, he's had good media training, because he now absolutely knows how to say nothing, like you just said, like a good politician. Back in 2008... Rick Santorum was on the Laura Ingraham radio show. Laura Ingraham's a very conservative talk show host. And he said that, there really was only, and this was 2008, really only one choice. So this is what he had to say.
If you're a conservative, there really is only one place to go right now. I would even argue further than that. If you're a Republican, in the broadest sense, there is only one place to go right now, and that's Mitt Romney.
All right. Now, Jeff and I were talking about this morning. What did the Romney campaign do with that piece of audio, Jeff?
They attached it to the end of a robocall.
So basically, if you're a Republican, chances are, and living in the state of Michigan, you got a robocall from the Romney campaign with Rick Santorum telling you to vote for Mitt Romney. It's just so wrong. It really is just so wrong. But that's probably why I like it so much.
Very deceptive. So, because some people will hear it and be like, wow, wait a minute, what?
Well, of course they will. And that's the whole point. They're just looking to confuse people. All right. Okay, we're up against the break. We got a lot more audio to get to. We'll do it on the other side. I got to tell you that it's kind of fun to be in play as a state during the presidential primary season. We weren't in 2008, but we are now, and that's kind of cool. So we're going to enjoy it while we can, especially the television stations who are raking in some nice money right now. Candidates aren't doing much advertising on radio. Not that they would be advertising on this station anyway. But at least our television stations are getting some extra cash. And by the way, before I forget, we're gonna repost our stuff from WDIV and give you an update on whether or not they're gonna come on and talk about the dispute with the unions that we talked about on the show yesterday. But let's get to the break here very quickly, and we'll come back and get all this stuff cleaned up on the other side. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back, because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness, but essentially to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, conclusion itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan,
There's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Every time I listen to that, Jeff wrote that. And really, there really is no other show that goes to work every day with working men and women in mind. Not another single show in the state of Michigan that does that. And we're very, very proud of our affiliation, not just with organized labor and unions in general, but we're with working men and women, more importantly. Welcome back. Rick Santorum, and this has got me a little concerned. Rick Santorum, very hateful rhetoric with regard to the president, and compared President Obama to Hitler. Let me play the audio first, then I'm going to tell you one of my concerns. So go ahead and play that audio.
Our closest ally, Britain, was being bombed and leveled. Japan was spreading this cancer all throughout Southeast Asia. And America sat from 1940 when France fell to December of 41. It did almost nothing. Why? Because we're hopeful people. We think, well, you know, it'll get better. Yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, it won't be near as bad as what we think. I mean, you know, this will be okay. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, maybe he's not the best guy. And after a while, you found out some things about this guy over in Europe, but he's not so good of a guy after all. But you know what? Why do we need to be involved? We'll just take care of our own problems. Just get our families off to work and our kids off to school, and we'll be okay. That's sort of the optimistic spirit of America, but sometimes, it's not okay.
Oh. All right, so we posted that to the Facebook page, Jeff, as you know, yesterday, and one of our more conservative followers posted something to the along the lines of, all that being said, he still prefers Santorum to our current president, which I found to be a little racist, to be honest with you. So now I think I gotta watch him a little closer. In fact, let me read exactly what he wrote. He said, still, he would be a better president than the current. Whew. I have issues with that. I have serious issues with that. Okay, anyway, with that said, you decide for yourself. You decide for yourself, as always. Eric, is it Fernstrom? Okay, we'll go with Fernstrom. As an advisor to Mitt Romney, tells MSNBC that, interestingly, that Mitt Romney, that Michigan is not a must-win for Mitt. This is incredulously what he had to say.
Mitt Romney has connections to, three states. Massachusetts, where he raised a family, started a business, was governor. Michigan, of course, where he spent the first 18 years of his life, and his dad was a governor. And Utah, where he ran the Olympics back in 2002. 4 years ago, we won all three of those states. Is any one of them a must-win for Mitt Romney? No, I think the must-do for any candidate running for president is achieving 1,145 delegates. That's what's going to secure the nomination. And it's a long process. As of right now, we have a nearly 3-1 lead over our closest rival in terms of delegates. We expect to add to that on the 28th of February and then on Super Tuesday, March 6th.
So you believe that if you lose Michigan, would you still think you're the front runner for the nomination if you lose Michigan?
We think we're going to win Michigan. Again, if you go back, look 4 years ago, Chuck, Mitt went into that contest in Michigan trailing John McCain. He eventually won it by 9 points. We think Mitt Romney has the right message, a jobs and economy message for that state, which is experiencing nearly 10% unemployment. They may be satisfied with high unemployment in the Obama administration. Mitt Romney certainly isn't. He believes we owe it to the 24 million Americans who are out of work or underemployed to do everything we can to fight for jobs, and that's his message in Michigan and everywhere else in the country.
Yeah, it's not resonating here. Interestingly, Ari Fleischer, who was one of President George W. Bush's closest guys, his press secretary, who I don't, you know, I got to tell you that I've got mixed feelings about Ari, but he's always been honest, if nothing else, even when I, you know, defiantly disagree with him, had the following to say, which was surprising. So listen closely to what he had to say about what's going on right now.
Ari, do you think he should just get back to focusing on economic issues?
Well, no. And Ashley Anderson, I think if you look even deeper at this, I think for the first time today in this race that Rick Santorum has a very decent chance of beating Mitt Romney for the nomination. Two things happened over the weekend and have been building since his three-state win. One is that the conservative angst with Mitt Romney is really coming to a head. People are really saying, we don't want to support Mitt Romney. Is there finally somebody else to go to? And Rick Santorum has really now energized the social wing of the Republican Party, which is a very powerful and vociferous part of the party. A little bit different from the Tea Party part where Rick Santorum has got to get back to. But in the process of the conservative collapse in Romney, with a social movement toward Rick Santorum, he really has propelled himself forward into this primary contest.
You really think he could get the nomination?
I really do. I'm prepared to say that now. For the first time, I would say that. I've always thought this was an open race. Anything could happen. It was that kind of wild year. But don't underestimate what has happened now with people going to Rick Santorum. And he does need to broaden it. The social issues really do motivate him, and he speaks from the heart. There was nothing scripted about what he said, by the way, over the weekend. That was just Rick Santorum.
Well, and, you know, Santorum's got his problems. I mean, and yeah, if he were to step up and to show a little maturity and some responsibility and actually have a team of people, including a press secretary by the name of Ella Stewart, who wouldn't make a major, major mistake. And when she fumbles, when she makes a gaffe, she makes a big one. This is what she had to say on MSNBC. You decide.
He was talking about radical environmentalists. He was talking about it. There is a type of theological secularism when it comes to the global warmness in this country. That's what he was referring to. He was referring to the president's policies in terms of the radical Islamic policies the president has, and specifically in terms of the energy exploration.
All right, now I'm going to give her a pass. Jeff, let me tell you why I'm going to give her a pass. She was talking about environmentalist stuff, and I know she meant to say radical environmentalist policies, and I know that's what she meant to say. She did not mean to say radical Islamic policies, but you know what? She was thinking it.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Well, it is a problem, but I'm going to give her a pass only because I know she did not mean to say it. That doesn't mean she didn't think it, she wasn't feeling it, but that's not what she meant to say. That's all I'm saying. He needs to surround himself with better people, but that's what happens when you have a half-assed campaign, and that's what Rick Santorum has. Imagine, you know, having to throw together a this kind of team this close to primaries, and I mean, I'm sorry, this right in the middle of the primary season. Well, whatever. We will be back. Chris Mihalakis will be with us at some point on the other side. I understand he's on his way to the studio, so we will look forward to having him on. Occupy Detroit as well in the next hour. Plenty of stuff to get to as we work our way throughout the day, including a lot more audio. We'll also revisit the Wayne County Bob Ficano ongoing saga there. Much more to do. You stay where you're at. First Shift will continue after this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some heavier traffic night for westbound between Gratiot and 696, and then 96 eastbound between Milford Road and Beck Road. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain, then switching to rain and snow as we move throughout the day. A high in the lower 40s. Tonight, chance of rain and snow, and then switching to all snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around 32. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 45. Right now, it's fair and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Greece is getting another bailout from Europe. Wall Street apparently likes the news because stock futures suggest a higher opening this morning, but CNN's Christine Romans reports this deal will mean some pain for the Greek people.
They've had smaller pensions, they're going to have steep job cuts, they're going to have reductions in their pay, and this is why you've seen people taking to the streets over and over and over again.
Part of this bailout comes with Greece's promise to try to cut its debt to 121% of its gross domestic product by the year 2020. Afghan authorities say they intercepted 41 children whom insurgents apparently were planning to use as suicide bombers. A government spokesman says it's believed the kids were being smuggled into Pakistan to be trained and sent back into Afghanistan as killers. He says they were between 6 and 11 years old. Hundreds of demonstrators gathered outside the Bagram airfield in Afghanistan because of reports that soldiers had burned a copy of the Quran at the base. The commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan quickly apologized and said he's launched an investigation. International aid groups are trying to persuade both sides in the Syrian conflict to stop fighting long enough to get medical aid into areas that haven't seen it for days. CNN's Nick Payton Walsh has details.
The Red Cross trying to see if they can get some kind of cessation in hostilities so perhaps aid can get into the worst affected areas, specifically Homs.
Jury selection begins today in the Philadelphia Catholic Archdiocese trial. Some legal experts call it one of the most sweeping sex abuse scandals in America. A grand jury's charged four priests and a parochial school teacher with raping and assaulting boys. It looks like the flu season is getting off to a slow start in the U.S. According to the Centers for Disease Control, this is the slowest start in nearly 25 years. Dr. Carlos Del Rio with Emory University in Atlanta believes flu shots are playing an important role.
I quite frankly believe that maybe we haven't seen that much influenza because vaccination coverage has been pretty good.
And typically by now, flu season usually is half over. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
And only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
In recent months, Comcast, the nation's largest cable operator, has pledged more minority ownership of channels and more programming for minorities. Today, it takes two big steps in that direction, announcing two new cable channels, one to be called Aspire, a network featuring broad programming owned by Magic Johnson, the other to be called Revolt, a music channel owned by former Puff Daddy Sean Combs. We're getting a collection of stronger-than-expected earnings reports this morning. Home Depot and Kraft Foods both posting nice increases in profit and revenue for the fourth quarter. Still waiting to hear from Walmart. Little to no pop for European markets, even after the European Union and Greece finally agreed to a $171 billion bailout deal. Some investors think it's still not enough. S&P futures up 1, NASDAQ futures losing a half point. Strongly higher are oil futures. Traders showing geopolitical fear as Iran's nuclear standoff with the world intensifies. In early trades, oil up more than a dollar a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer, but had to go across town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking. Is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing zero, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open legal residents of U.S., U.K., and Canada. Excluded Quebec, if you know. Ends 229 call for rules at ConstantContact.com.
Merriman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. It is 7 minutes, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. This dyslexia kicking in on this Tuesday, the 21st day of February 2012. A pleasure to be with you. Great first hour. We've got a great second hour. Chris Mihalakis on his way into the studio as we speak. So we'll bring him to you as soon as we've got him. Occupy Detroit a little bit later on in the show. Wanted to mention to you, not that I didn't know this, but I have been neglecting all along my good friend Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. You're going to find them online at whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org. Ben archives the show every single day and offers it to you via iTunes subscription. So, for those of you that are in touch with what the iTunes is all about, if you would like to subscribe to the show via iTunes, just go to whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org, and it'll make sense. It's all right there. Check it out. Check it out indeed. So I want to thank Ben Birch again for archiving the show. He's been doing it for months now. And I've been negligent in getting that information to you. So happy to do it this morning. And it's all available to you. I know a lot of people like to use iTunes. I think, Jeff, you're an iTunes fan, are you not?
I am.
Yeah, as am I. And in fact, it made me reminded me yesterday to go, and I did go and check in on some of my podcasts and spent part of the day. I usually listen to sports talk radio during the day. Instead, I listened to my iTunes podcast yesterday. So that's what I did for most of the day yesterday, which was kind of cool. Got me caught up on a lot of that stuff.
So, I only just recently got into it, though. I'll tell you, if I wanted to listen to a podcast, I'd have to figure out what website it was and then hit download and do all this. Once you set up iTunes, it's amazing how quick it goes right to where you need to get and download the segments.
Well, one of the nice things about iTunes, although it is quote unquote an Apple program, it is they've configured it for any computer that you might have, so you don't have to have an Apple product to utilize iTunes. You can certainly download iTunes to any other computer you might have and utilize it the same way you would utilize it on an Apple product. So that's really kind of cool. No question about that. Very, very cool stuff. All right. Bob Ficano still is making news. Wayne County still is making news, and for all the wrong reasons. This next update is from WXYZ TV Channel 7. Ross Jones gives us the latest on what's happening in Wayne County.
FBI's investigation into Wayne County is heating up, already netting two criminal charges, and there's no sign at all this probe is winding down.
The 7 Action News investigators were the first to expose the severance scandal. Investigator Ross Jones joins us now with the latest on the Fed's case and where it may go from here. What have you found out, Ross?
Well, good evening, Diana. Stephen, perhaps the only thing as surprising as the charges in last week's complaint was how quickly the FBI was able to build its case.
The FBI was kicking around Kwame Kilpatrick's administration for years before issuing its first charge in the probe into his office. But the case made against two of Wayne County Executive Robert Vacano's appointees took only a few months. Working with a confidential Wayne County vendor, the feds say they have clear evidence that former County Chief Information Officer Tahir Kazmi used his position at the county to get kickbacks from a vendor.
All credit goes to the FBI for how this case has progressed so quickly over such a short period of time.
William Kowalski is a former assistant special agent in charge of the FBI's Detroit office. He worked on the case against Kilpatrick and, like many in the legal community, was surprised by the Fed's speed. Kowalski says in this case, time may have been an enemy of the Feds.
This one developed more quickly because you have a source out there who's being pressured, an individual, a vendor, who's being continually pressured by these two individuals to take certain action, and you can only let that scenario play out for so long before either more suspicions occur.
And adding to the pressure, the Feds learned Tahir Kazmi had threatened to commit suicide if a county vendor mentioned anything about bribes to the FBI.
And that has a shelf life, so you have to take action over a shorter period of time.
While Kazmi was named in an FBI subpoena back in October, many inside Wayne County were surprised to see that he was the first top official charged. Sources inside the Guardian building say they expected to see Michael Grundy's name in a criminal complaint first. He was the assistant county CEO, fired after it was reported he'd pressured a county vendor for kickbacks. Legal experts say it's possible that the feds will use Kazmi to build a potential case against Grundy and other targets that could be charged later on. Former deputy county CEO Azam Elder and former economic czar Turkiya Mullen's names were absent from last week's criminal complaint. But legal experts say they're far from in the clear.
Turkiya Mullen, I'm certainly reading this with great interest. If I'm, frankly, Robert Vacano or many of the defense counsels within the city of Detroit here, I'm reading this with great interest and then figuring out what my next step might be.
Now, Robert Vacano has insisted all along that he won't be charged in this probe because he says he's done nothing wrong. Even if that's true, though, some county commissioners say Vacano still needs to go. They say if it took an FBI investigation to tell him what's been going on in his own administration, what other surprises might be in store.
And Laura Berman, who is a columnist for the Detroit News, wrote a column yesterday. Basically reiterating what Jeff and I were talking about yesterday as well, or maybe it was Friday, but the idea that he didn't know, you know, that leads us to a couple of conclusions. He's either incompetent or lying. There's no third option. There's just not a third option. The third option might be he knew some but did not all. I mean, you know, we could go on an infinitum. And the bottom line is the Bob Vacano. His time is limited. I think that that's clear. I think his time is quite limited, and he's going to have to come to terms with the fact that his political career is over. I would imagine he's got a nice pension as the county sheriff. Will probably end up with a nice pension as the county executive. The two combined is probably more money than he's making now anyway, with a whole lot less stress. You know, the question that keeps coming up is it time for Bob Vacano to step down? I don't know that I have the answer to that question. I just don't. Some people are saying by stepping down, he's admitting guilt. I don't believe by stepping down, he is admitting guilt. By stepping down, he's actually maybe showing, not even maybe, by stepping down, he's showing leadership. The county needs somebody to step in that is not tarnished by all of the impropriety of the team that he surrounded himself with. This was a hand-picked team. Their incompetence and their corruption certainly reflects on him, whether he wants it to or not. It just does. It's part of that reality. So just time to get over that and move on from it. And how do you clean this mess up? Well, maybe the right start is to for Bob Ficano to step aside. He, again, and I have no reason to believe that he is not going to stick to his word. He says that he will not step down, and that's period, because it's tantamount to admitting guilt. And I don't think it is at all. In fact, I just said I think it would show leadership if he would step down so that the county can move on from some of what's holding us back.
You don't think that if he steps down, it basically says, okay, I know I got busted.
Like,
I
mean, no,
if he's not guilty, then why, you know, and he steps down, what does that say?
Well, Jeff, again, let's go back. And how would I write it? If I were his press secretary, if I were the one writing his speech, if he were to come to me for advice, this is what I would tell him. That people have already made assumptions. And most people think this guy's guilty of sin anyway. So whether that's true or not is irrelevant because perception is reality. So if I were to give an audio speech, if I were to call a press conference for this afternoon and I were to write his speech, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, although I will certainly have my day in court, although the team that I assembled have betrayed me, and although I continue to stand by my statement that I have done no wrong, I realize that the best thing to do for the people that I have served for so long, first as Wayne County Sheriff and then as their county executive, is to step aside so that we can end any perception of impropriety on the part of myself and my administration. I believe that the FBI should have unfettered access to every piece of paper they desire, and that the truth be known. And I will be exonerated in the end, but what is best for the county may not be what's best for Bob Ficano. But with that said, I step aside to give this county time to heal, a chance to be competitive, and an opportunity to grow. And it has become clear that because of my sitting in a chair in this building, that that cannot happen. So therefore, effective now, I am resigning. Something along those lines. That's what I would do, Jeff.
Well, and as you said before, even perception is that he's guilty. Well, as we've outlined, as you just outlined it, he's guilty of one or the other. Either he knew or he's ignorant. In either way, it doesn't look good. So stepping down, you know, yeah, he's, I mean, it doesn't matter how it looks. He needs to step down for one of those two reasons.
Yeah, there's no question that that's true. We're going to take a quick break, and then is Chris here yet, by the way?
Yeah, he's raring to go.
Wonderful. Well, here, I'll tease a segment. Mr. President is awaiting his chair. We'll take the break, and we'll be back. I am Tony Truviano. This is First Shift. We'll continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truviano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Don't worry, we're still looking at some delays on 94 westbound as you approach Gratiot and then get close to the 696 interchange. 96 eastbound from Kent Lake Road now through Beck Road. You're going to find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service. Today, rain, then a chance for rain and snow as we head towards the evening, a high near 42. Tonight, rain and snow mix before midnight, then all snow after. Mostly cloudy, a low around freezing. Then Wednesday, partly sunny, high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
And joining me now is the guy that is the game changer. His name is Kevin Howley. He understands what it takes to lead, and he understands what it will take to move Oakland County. Jobs will fix almost any problem we have. Are you going to be able to come up with a jobs program that's specific to the county that will attract new industry and new businesses to the county?
Well, and I think that focus has to be on the county. If you look at what's going on in Washtenaw County, they've got a venture capital hub in Ann Arbor. If you look at what's going on in downtown Detroit right now, if you look at from the river up to West Grand Boulevard, venture capitalists are moving into that area and creating jobs. Jobs are coming to that area. And I have to question, why is that not happening in Oakland County? We have to look at our landscape. We have to be able to go out and talk about what we're the best at. We have to be able to attract capital. And I really think that venture capital core is important. So that's one thing that I want to look at.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
1310 WDTW. First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. A little off our normal schedule, but there's a reason for that. Guys, go ahead and give me the intro. Let's get this thing going. I got some exciting stuff to get to.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
I've been working in politics for years, and let me tell you what the Republicans think. The Republicans think the problem with our economy is that you, the listener, have it too good. They want to lower your wages. They want to weaken your collective bargaining rights if you're fortunate enough to have them.
Here is Chris Mihalakis.
And indeed, here is Chris Mihalakis, but that open that we just used is, only good for, it's got a shelf life all of a sudden. come March 1st, Mr. President, a new title, new responsibilities. First of all, let me welcome you back to First Shift. Congratulate you.
Thank
and you.
You
have been, and it's been announced that the papers are now have it. You have been appointed and elected as the next president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. So congratulations, Chris.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a really, really humbling week. I mean, you know, people have been congratulating me wherever I go, and it's quite an honor and a big thrill, and I'm very excited. But, I mean, it's been absolutely humbling to see all the support I've gotten.
We're going to talk about what all this means, and certainly you're still going to be, you know, involved with the show, so
that's right.
that doesn't go away. What kind of neat for me is I started getting emails 3 or 4 days ago, and people saying, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro AFL-CIO, asked me to reach out to you to see if you'd be willing to do to do X or Y.
Not yet.
Well, I'm getting those emails, though.
That's funny.
I'm getting those emails. In fact, one of them
is for a UAW-sponsored training, and they wanted me to. In fact, you're going to be doing that as well.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I'm only able to do one of the four that they were asking me to do, but that was one of the emails that I got where they were referencing you as the president. I want to, before we go further and talk about what this means and what some of your plans are, I want to talk about a good friend of mine and yours, and that's Sandra Williams, who is retiring. Right. We can't have this conversation without talking about Sandra and all she's done for labor.
Absolutely not. I mean, Sandra has been, you know, a big, big mentor for me. And, I mean, she's the reason why I'm in this position in the first place. You know, when I expressed an interest in being more involved with the Metro years ago, a few years ago, she was the one who really made a push for me to become secretary treasurer. I've been secretary treasurer there for 2 years now, and she's really groomed me and taught me a lot over the last couple of years. And you know that to me, Tony, is what I think makes organized labor a movement and not just, you know, an institution. And that the way we, you know, pass down our values from generation to generation. And I would not be here if it wasn't for people like Sandra Williams, people like Roger Robinson, the president of Local 876 UFCW, who gave me my first job in organized labor and really gave me a shot, and multiple other people who really, you know, gave me these opportunities to serve the labor movement in the capacity that I have. And you know, Sandra's just been phenomenal. She's taught me a lot. Luckily, she'll be around a little bit to help me out, you know, over the next year and really help me get adjusted. But I got some big shoes to fill.
Well, we, of course, we're going to reach out to her and hopefully get her on the show sometime between now and March 1st, which is when you officially take over. I'm sure that, and, you know, she was very actively involved in the campaign to repeal Public Act 4.
That's right.
And a lot of other, she's always been, you know, when I think of Sandra, I've always thought activist first. Mm-hmm. And she's the consummate activist. You know, people understand that she's at everything. She shows up, you know, there isn't a Saturday or a Sunday that I'm not invited to something that she's not there.
That's right.
And, you know, people just don't understand that when, and you do understand this because you're also one of those people that is there, that, you know, you show up and you're standing up for these issues. But she is, when I think of her, I've always thought activist first.
Yeah. I mean, Sandra's always put the movement first. She's always, you know, she's taken some tough positions over the years, on some things and has gotten criticism for standing up for working people and working families. And I respect that about her a great deal. You know, if you noticed last year during the, Obama's, Labor Day speech, Sandra was in charge of that. And we had some elected officials, I'm not going to name any names, who did not have a good relationship with labor, who wanted to be a part of the event, who wanted to speak. And because of their very adversarial relationships with organized labor, Sandra stood firm despite pressure from the White House and other labor organizations. You know, she stood firm and held her ground and said, you know, if you're not going to treat our members right, then you're not going to have a place at our pulpit.
Yeah, and certainly one of the things that years ago, and then when I first interviewed was probably 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 years ago, she had said to me, and I will never forget this. She said this to me off the air. We were at a conference or something, and she said, and we were talking, and she says, I really love your show and the way you go about talking about labor, and that's great. She goes, you do understand that this is something you have to do 24/7,
right,
though. I mean, she was real. She looked me right in the eye. This is not something you just do when you do your radio show, right? You really do believe this 24/7. I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I'm watching. You know, and she meant that in a nice way.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, she meant that in a nice way. But, again, we don't have this conversation without honoring the work that she's done. Certainly we have to do that.
No, you're right, Tony. And, I mean, you know, she's really, in her wisdom, she could have stayed on. You know, her term expires in November, which is when, you know, I'm now running for re-election, and she could have stayed on that entire time. But she thought it was more important for the movement that we have a leadership change now before the election, gearing up for this big fight where, you know, I can help the labor movement and she can be there to help me. And, I mean, it just goes to show you how forward thinking she is and how dedicated she is in doing what's best for the movement.
Talking about doing what's best for the movement, let's compartmentalize this. Your role with the United Food and Commercial Workers as the legislative and political director, you're of course having to give that up. You now are moving on to a new responsibility. Very sadly, yeah. for a lot of people. I know that you've spoken briefly about who is going to take over your duties with the UFCW, and I'm sure I'll get an opportunity to meet that individual. But I can't imagine you would have moved on and not made sure that you had somebody coming behind you that was up to the task.
Well, that's right. Chris Harthen is going to be handling a lot of the political responsibilities, in fact, running our whole political program. We have a very ambitious field program. You know, we got 45,000 members in the state between local 876 and 951, and also the RWDSU, which is a part of the UFCW. And, you know, Chris is going to have the tough task of making sure that we contact all those members, tell them about how important this election is, and get them involved in their campaigns, everywhere from the election of Obama to, you know, state representative. I mean, we have to win back the state house to fight back all this horrible legislation that people are pushing.
Well, one of the things that, one of the things I've always admired about you is your training, the way you train. You have a gift, and I think you know that you have a gift. So I don't envy Chris because, having to, somebody's going to say, but that's not how Mihalakis did it, and that's what's going to happen. Well, you know it's true. You're very good at training, and that's true. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. A lot more to get to. Congratulations again. Thank you. Mihalakis, my guest. He will be on March 1st, the new president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. A quick break here, folks, and we'll come back and do more. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got some slow traffic out there on 96 eastbound between Milford Road and Beck Road, plus an accident 696 westbound at Coolidge. It's on the left shoulder, causing some minor gawker delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today: rain, then a chance of rain snow mix this evening. A high near 42 tonight. A rain-snow mix before midnight, then a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 32. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Warehouse workers are calling on Walmart to address issues with contractors that violate labor laws. On Thursday, workers in Southern California attempted to deliver a petition to one such contractor, Schneider Logistics. The petition calls on the company to rescind a plan to fire 100 workers. Warehouse Workers United secured an injunction from the company to not follow through with the plans on February 24th. The employees had filed suit in 2011, demanding wages they allege had been stolen by the company. They say they were paid less than minimum wage, denied overtime, and weren't paid for lunch breaks. The workers rallied on Thursday to deliver the petition to a local warehouse, and the petition was refused at the door. Nick Allen is with Warehouse Workers United.
What happened here is such an obvious illustration of how this management treats these workers. They will not accept a simple written petition signed by these workers asking for their basic rights. They will not even take it to read it. That is the level of disrespect these workers experience every day.
The largest restaurant group in Florida has refused to weigh in on an effort to reduce wages for tipped workers in the state. Darden Group, which owns restaurants such as Red Lobster, issued a statement that due to economic conditions, this is not the right time to be having a discussion about cutting wages for servers. The bill would see the minimum wage for tipped workers cut from $4.65 per hour to the federal minimum of $2.13 per hour. However, the proposal does include a guarantee for employees of nearly $10 per hour for tips and wages combined. OSI, a restaurant group that owns businesses such as Outback, has said it supports the measure.
During a rally last week led by Unite Here, restaurant employee Erica Feliciano said the move was a step backwards.
Minimum wage is $4-something an hour, and we want to cut it by $2. I feel like we're going back, 10 years ago.
Unite Here represents workers at Disney who will be opening 2014 contract negotiations just as the new wage goes into effect, if it passes.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. Again, big news today. Chris Mihalakis has been elected president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. For those that don't understand the distinction between the statewide AFL and the Metro, could you give us that distinction?
Sure. In the state of Michigan, obviously you have the statewide organization, which coordinates a lot of the politics, a lot of the lobbying efforts, and, you know, a lot of other efforts. It's our state table. We also have all over the state a number of what we call central labor councils. And just about every region in Michigan has their own central labor councils where, you know, local unions, local business agents, local union activists, and shop stewards can have a forum to, you know, strategize, talk about local politics, be active and engaged in local politics, and really, you know, help each other with organizing drives, help each other with different contract campaigns they may have going on. And, the Metro Detroit is the largest central labor council. We cover Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. And, we got a lot of work ahead of us this year. We have a lot of, unorganized places that we need to start talking about helping each other with. But most importantly, between now and November, we have the election. And we have a number of state house seats we need to win back if we're going to win back control of the House in Lansing. And then we also have to get Obama reelected. We have to get Stabenow reelected. We have a very ambitious political plan, and we have a lot of work to do this cycle, especially when you consider the massive amounts of attacks that the right has put up against workers.
Well, I certainly don't envy, from a political standpoint, with redistricting, especially in Southeast Michigan, which is really where it affected the state. You know, you've got a lot of great people that are going to be coming after the AFL for their endorsement. I don't envy you folks. That's going to be, that's going to be a tough thing. The good news is you've got some great candidates to choose from, and I don't know that you can choose poorly. So that's a good thing. Chris, when you decide that this is something you want professionally, personally, mm-hmm. And you look at the Metro, you've been involved now you've been the Secretary of Treasury for two, but you've been involved for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, why was it that this was a challenge that you wanted to take on at this time in your professional life? Because I would imagine that, you know, with the experience you have now, you don't even need to put much of a resume together. You could probably make a couple phone calls and place yourself neatly wherever you almost want to be at this point. Why would you do this?
Well, you know, throughout my career, one thing that I've been personally working for is working on getting organized labor, working closer together, reminding everybody we're all on the same team. When I came to UFCW, when I first started, before Roger became president, there was two locals in Michigan that not only never worked together but hated each other. On endorsements, when it came to endorsements, if one would endorse one candidate, the other would endorse the other just to spite them. I mean, it was rough. Then Marv Russo became president of 951, Roger Robinson became president of 876, and we really started turning things around. I mean, you know, we started working together. I started working for both locals. We had this, a unified agenda politically. We started helping each other out on organizing drives. I mean, and in that time, we've organized countless workers. We've won more elections since Roger and Marv have become presidents of their locals than we have in years. And we've accomplished a lot politically. We've accomplished a lot in the legislature. You know, when Granholm was governor, we stopped tax breaks from going to Walmart. When, you know, the Republicans took control of the House, you know, we fought back in the past many efforts to repeal item pricing. And when they finally did, we were able to work out some compromises and work out some, you know, by setting back the implementation dates. And, you know, we spared our workers from being laid off. And so we've accomplished a lot. Since we've worked together, and I want to take that spirit and incorporate it on a larger level. You know, you have some unions all have for the, you know, all have very good intentions and want to work together, but sometimes need a little I don't want to say encouragement, but, you know, by having a little more coordination, we can better work together and coordinate our efforts a little better and build stronger relationships with each other. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, there's a lot of unions out there, and we're all so busy just keeping our members that we have and keeping our contracts in line and representing our memberships through the grievance process that a lot of times we don't have time to just, you know, pick up the phone and call each other and coordinate some of these efforts with each other like we wish we could. And that's where the AFL-CIO comes in. You know, we want to be basically, you know, helping our affiliates out and helping them grow and helping them accomplish their goals. And that's what I wanted to do on a bigger scale. And I found a lot of those opportunities in the Metro Central Labor Council.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've spoken in front of the Metro Labor Council, and it's one of the more active groups. There's
yes,
always great attendance at the meetings.
Yeah.
I've noticed, as I have sat there as a candidate for Congress and as a radio show host, doesn't matter why I've been there. I've sat at the table and observed the agenda that people bring to those meetings and how thorough they are and how passionate they are. And there's always somebody in the room that's reminding the entire group of, a social consciousness or a charitable consciousness that you never forget where you come from.
Yeah,
I think that that's critical. You know, people often think of organized labor. You know, there was I don't know if you saw Flashpoint on Sunday, but our good friend Kevin Moore was on, and Keith Johnson from the DFT, and you know, they were talking about this thug mentality that a lot of labor organized labor kind of has to deal with, this perception. They're never in that room, and they haven't seen what I've seen, that compassion, that ongoing commitment to supporting each other. That's pretty uncommon. I don't think people understand, you know, really how compassionate that group is.
Yeah, we have a fantastic executive board and a fantastic delegate body. I mean, we have a really good group of activists, that's always afraid to step up for working families, no matter what the issue is. You know, when the musicians went on strike, members of our e-board, members of our delegate body were there every single protest we had. Even when Rock was protesting on Diamos, you know, it was a lot of our folks were there. You know, we have a board that's ready to gear up and fight for, you know, any injustice amongst any of our affiliates. You know, I'm proud to say we were the first Central Labor Council in the country to pass a resolution supporting comprehensive immigration reform, working with the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights. You know, we led the way, and a lot of other CLCs followed. But, you know, we have that kind of board that's very forward-thinking like that. You know, we've supported and passed many progressive resolutions and supported a lot of causes that we're very proud to be a part of.
And again, because I've been in the room, I know that all of this is true. So March 1st is the magical date, which is what, a Wednesday, a Thursday? What is
it?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. You know, I'm going to spend the earlier part of that week. Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be up in with AFSCME, collecting those petitions and making sure they, you know, helping them move some some boxes into the Secretary of State's office.
All right. Well, that's going to be very exciting. Of course, I can't wait to come downtown and to see the office and visit with you. And
you're always welcome.
And I appreciate that. It's just so exciting for us. So again, now I get selfish. For the sake of the show, you're still going to be with us yep. Tuesdays. We're just going to identify you differently. Actually, one of the nice things I think was we can almost in some regards expand the things that we talk about, although you've always been such a go-to person on any labor issues, so that doesn't really change. Our relationship, of course, with the UFCW stays intact.
That's right.
There's no question that that's true. And of course, the show is here to serve the greater labor community, so any way that we can help the Metro, of course, it's always been true, and it'll continue to be true.
And that goes both ways.
And I appreciate that. I find this very exciting. Again, you know, you're young. You truly are. You're a young guy to have this opportunity. And I know you're a little humbled by this, to have this opportunity at your age. I think it says something not only about the faith of the labor community and that has in you, and indeed that's true, but it also says something, Chris, about the confidence you have in yourself. And that's not arrogance. There's nothing wrong with knowing that you have a vision and knowing that you can help lead in a way that, especially now, where labor is at a turning point, you know, you may have arrived at the right time.
Well, you know, Tony, it's humbling because I think about how much the movement has given me in my life. And I'm not just talking about the opportunities in the last 10 years. I mean, you know, Sandra's given me a huge opportunity, the executive board and the delegate body, the fact that they've entrusted me with this responsibility is huge and very humbling. You know, the fact that, you know, Roger Robinson basically recruited me and gave me an opportunity to serve. But, you know, what's humbling about the labor movement is it goes beyond that. As I said in the Free Press article, you know, the fact that when growing up in the U.S., we moved here from Greece in 1984. I was a little kid. And the fact that when I was hungry, we had food. You know, we lived in a beautiful house. We had the best schools, best public education system in the world. You know, the fact that when I got sick, you know, I had medicine. Doctor's appointments were free because my dad had a collective bargaining agreement and had a contract. And, you know, when I got accepted to, you know, the best university in the world, University of Michigan, my family was able to pay for it, all because of the sacrifices made by generations before me, by people who didn't even know my forefathers. You know, because of their sacrifices, I was able to have a great life, and that's very humbling.
All right, well, we're just out of time for today. We've got Occupy Detroit on the other side. Of course, our open is good for another week, and then we'll have to change it, gladly have to change it. Anyway, again, congratulations one more time. Just wonderful. By the way, you look great. Obviously, people don't see, but you've lost quite a bit of weight, and you're looking wonderful. 40 pounds, you told me?
Yep.
You look wonderful.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chris Mialakis, once again. When we continue with First Shift, Occupy Detroit, please stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On both sides, we have these incredible amounts of money, and I guarantee you there will be a scandal. There is too much money washing around politics, and it's making the parties irrelevant.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting. We're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And indeed it is. Unfortunately, our Occupy guest is late in arriving, so we'll move on for now. First of all, I want to say again another congratulations to Chris Mihalakis. You know, Chris and I have been friends a long time, and Chris is the one that got me involved with the UFCW on their anti-Walmart campaign years ago and asked me to get involved in that, which I gladly did, and have learned a lot from the UFCW and now have a wonderful relationship with them. Certainly, Chris has worked very hard for this, and I'm very, very proud of my friend, and even prouder still of what he is going to do for the Occupy movement. I've been fortunate enough to meet Chris's father. I know how proud he must be of his son, as I would be of mine. Just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for, again, both Chris and the movement itself. Jeff sends me a couple notes, so let me read them. Mitt Romney leads Santorum in Michigan in a new Mears poll, 32-30% within the margin of error. So too close to call on that one, and Mitt Romney will be hosting a town hall meeting today in Shelby Township at Eagle Manufacturing. I'm sure that will be an anti-labor fest once again. I'm just getting a little tired of it, to be honest with you. Just kind of crazy with what he's trying to do. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I am going to go to the phones now and welcome Bomani to the show. I haven't talked to you in a while. Bomani, how you been, my friend?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, brother. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, today is the, you know, I don't know if you know it, but today is the assassination date of Malcolm X.
I did see that on MSNBC this morning.
Yeah, so I'd like to say a small prayer for him, silence, moment of silence, whatever. But we are having a program at the Truth Bookstore at Northland this evening at 6 o'clock.
All right.
On the life of death. Yeah, Life and Death of Malcolm X. If anybody, it's free to the public. Anybody want to stop by and make their comments or pay their respects to Brother Malcolm? You know, he's done a lot for us and a lot for the movement. And we're going to have a short program, talk about his message to the grassroots, you know, his last speech here in Detroit, you know, at King Solomon Church. So if anybody wants to stop by, everybody's welcome.
Well, now, where's it going to be at Northland?
Northland Truth Bookstore.
Okay.
It's right next door. They got a space there next to Truth Bookstore. Sister Nefertiti set it up. You know, they got programs every day this month for Black History Month.
All right, and what time is that this evening?
6 p.m.
6 p.m., beautiful. All right. I just want to make sure that I got all the information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. I did see that this morning on MSNBC. I had said something a while ago that I see Black History Month a little bit differently than a lot of people. I was fortunate enough when I was a kid. There was this young black man that I met, and I say young because he was all of 22 or 23. Now, I was young. I was about 10 or 12 years old, so 22 or 23 is old when you're 10, but he's a young man. And he had taken a particular interest in excellence. Everything he touched, he worked for my father. My dad owned a grocery store, and he worked for my father, and everything he touched was about excellence. And I found him fascinating, so I would often ask him questions because I thought he was this sage elder at 23 years old. And, he would share these little bits of philosophy with me that I found to be absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So one day I said to him, having never touched the skin of a black person before, I asked if I could touch him. And he looked at me kind of odd and said, why? I said, I've never touched a black person before, and I'm curious if it rubs off. I thought maybe it would rub off. I wasn't sure. I was, but I was 10 years old. I didn't know. So he said, well, yeah, sure, absolutely, certainly. So, obviously nothing rubbed off, and everything was fine. And so, as I got older and more people came into my life, and I learned to accept mostly by the example of my parents. I learned to accept people of color and people of different backgrounds. We had this interesting revolving door in my mom and dad's house where they kind of had these this amazing group of friends. My mom was at one point when I was younger became a born again Christian. And we were born and raised Catholic, so that kind of flew in the face of Catholicism. But at one point, my mom had these, hardcore Christian people in and out of the house. They were doing prayer meetings and speaking in tongues, and it was all very bizarre. And then, of course, you have that other side of my life where all of these wonderful people that worked for my father that would come in and out of our lives, and all the people that at one point my dad opened up a wholesale operation, and there were these great, wonderful characters, which is the only way to describe them, people of all backgrounds that would come into his warehouse. And this is as I got much older and was much more aware of what was going on in the world and starting to form my own opinions. I've been a fan of history my entire life, and so this idea of Black History Month comes up. And what is the one thing when you're a white kid and you go to a predominantly white school, what's the one thing they say during Black History Month? What about White History Month? Well, of course, the answer to that is every month is White History Month because we still don't teach Black history properly. But that's beside the point. We'll save that for another day. I've always been a fan of history, and I've always gone out of my way to even when I didn't have to read stuff about history, I would read stuff about history because I find, I remember one of my college professors says, there's a future in history. You've all heard that line, right? And so it's true. There is a future in history. And those of us that don't learn from history are certainly destined to repeat the mistakes of our past. And so as I learned more and more about black history, I learned about the deep traditions and so many of the things that we came to accept and love as a society, where it is a direct result of sacrifices and ingenuity and the wonderment of our black brothers and sisters. And so those of you that are wondering, why we take February and we set it aside and we remember it as Black History Month. If you wonder why that is, then we've lost you. You shouldn't have to wonder. That's really my point. You shouldn't have to wonder. A quick break. Lots to do in the next hour. If you'll all just stay right where you're at, Cindy Estrada with the UAW coming up next, and a whole lot more to do as we work our way through this Tuesday program. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have a couple of accidents out there. The Lodge southbound right at the Telegraph split. Accident there on the right shoulder. Also, 696 westbound after Coolidge, we have an accident there on the left shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain, then a chance of a rain-snow mix later this evening, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, a chance of rain-snow mix before midnight, then a chance of snow after. Mostly cloudy, a low around 32, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, high near 45. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, hundreds of demonstrators gathered outside NATO's Bagram airfield in Afghanistan, angered by reports that NATO soldiers burned a copy of the Quran there. CNN's Nick Payton Walsh reports NATO acknowledges Islamic religious materials were improperly disposed of at the base.
It's not clear how these were collected and then passed to, as it seems to be, the waste disposal part of that base, which then, I think, hands outside of the base to Afghans, who would at this point obviously have taken great offense at finding these particular materials.
Afghan authorities say they intercepted 41 children whom insurgents apparently were planning to use as suicide bombers. A government spokesman says it's believed the kids were being smuggled into Pakistan to be trained and sent back into Afghanistan as killers. He says they were between 6 and 11 years old. European countries have agreed to another bailout of Greece. In exchange, the Greek government promises more budget cuts and tax hikes to deal with its debt. That will mean more pain for the population, but reporter Elinda Labropoulou reports many Greeks seem resigned to it.
Well, there's some relief that at least a decision has been made. This has been going on for weeks, months even, and people are very tired of living in this uncertainty. Of course, this does not necessarily end the uncertainty. It just ends it for now.
A California teacher accused of taking hundreds of explicit photos of young students is due to be arraigned today. CNN's Matt Cherry reports the case has had huge fallout and gained national attention.
Mark Burt has yet to enter a plea on 23 counts of lewd acts involving a child. He was arrested last month after police say about 600 graphic photos taken in his classroom came to light. Shortly afterward, all staff and faculty at the school were either fired or reassigned.
A senior administration official says President Obama will call on Congress to pass more bipartisan measures now that he's had success on the payroll tax cut extension. The official says the White House believes congressional Republicans are more willing to make deals in the aftermath of the debt limit fight last year. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
The works includes an oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate at your local Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open legal residence of the U.S., UK, and Canada. Speak back to you. And to 29 offer rules at ConstantContact.com.
Two new cable TV channels will be announced today, and they are backed by familiar names. Magic Johnson owns what will become the Aspire Network. It will feature broad programming, including original shows for African-American viewers. Sean Diddy Combs to announce the launch of Revolt. an all-music channel, both to be aired initially on Comcast cable systems as part of the company's pledge to offer more minority-themed programming. Stock futures are up ahead of the first Wall Street opening bell this holiday-shortened trading week, but they are not up by a lot. S&P and NASDAQ futures each gaining about 3 points. Dow futures doing better right now, up a little more than 40. Even as Walmart and Home Depot both report stronger than expected profits and sales for the fourth quarter, and as Greece and the European Union agree on a second bailout for Greece to the tune of $171 billion. Oil futures are gaining as the nuclear standoff with Iran heats up more, crude gaining $1.50 to $105 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer, but had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open legal residents of the U.S., UK, Canada. Speak back if you know. And 229 call for rules at ConstantContact.com.
Merrillman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merrillman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
You're always ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you want truth, if you want responsibility, if you want a way forward, yeah, then you're ready for First Shift. No question about it. We have a great hour of radio lined up for you. Jeremy Moore will join us at the bottom of the hour, a graduate research assistant, just wants fairness, that's all. But what do the Republicans in the state of Michigan do? Well, they decide to change the rules midstream. We'll get to it. Folks, we've got to continue. We have got to continue to pay attention to what's happening, both locally, statewide, and frankly, nationally as well. But before we get to that, we've got Cindy Estrada with us, and we're very excited to have her. So why don't we go ahead at 7 minutes after the hour, why don't we go ahead and play our intro for Cindy and get this thing going?
And now from the United Auto Workers Union,
our leading voice for labor.
It's really sad. What you see is a bunch of legislators looking at how you solve problems without involving workers. And it's really easy to sit on their high perches. It's really easy to have this ideology and say that these decisions make sense that they're doing. But really the smarter way to go is to sit down and talk to workers and let labor and management work together to solve some problems.
Ms. Cindy Estrada.
And Cindy does join us now. And I just learned, Cindy, first of all, welcome back. And sorry I gave you the wrong number this morning.
That's okay. Thank you, Tony.
You found us anyway, so your brain's a lot smarter than my fingers. I appreciate that. I just got an email from Dave. That's how I know that happened. You know, I got to tell you, Cindy, the subject that we're going to talk, the story we're going to talk about this morning is one of those things that, you know, I really want people to understand the ramifications of it. There's something happening in Alabama right now that a lot of people are not aware of, but they need to be aware of it for a variety of reasons. Because, number one, if we're not careful, we may see this stuff head a little further north than we were comfortable dealing with. But it is time, Cindy, that we start, and I know the labor community, and I know especially the UAW has been doing this, but it's high time we start taking care of the immigrants in this country that have given so much to the labor movement throughout history and currently. And we have done, unfortunately, not a very good job of protecting immigrants in this country from the onslaught, especially of what legislators have done. More specifically, I'm talking about HB 56 in Alabama. We'll get into the specifics of that in just a minute. But I would like your thoughts on the contributions of immigrants to the labor movement and the way that they have perhaps not been honored as they should be.
You know, Tony, the labor movement was built on immigrant workers. I mean, when we came to this country, we all came from somewhere else. And, you know, I know my grandparents did. I'm sure yours did. And really, it's about workers. And I think that's what's so scary about HB 56 that legitimizes, you know, they're talking about immigration, but again, it's just an issue to get us divided as workers so that we're not focusing on what we're starting to focus on, which is the problem that our wealth in this country is in the 1%, and 99% of us are not, sharing in that.
I know that, yes, my grandparents certainly did come from Italy, all four of them. And I know that, my grandfather especially and my grandmother were, on my mother's side, were both in a union. My grandfather on my father's side, unfortunately, didn't live very long once he got here. And my grandmother married, and my grandfather on my father's side was a self-employed guy and a self-made man. But I think about, and, you know, my grandfather on my mom's side, Cindy, worked for the city of Detroit, the Department of Public Works, and he was a bricklayer and he was a cement guy. And everything in his world was about the union. You couldn't talk to my grandfather without him invoking his union, his brothers and sisters in the union. In fact, I was jealous of his union brothers and sisters at one point, Cindy, because it's all he talked about was making sure that he protected them.
I think it's something, you know, we had back then that I learned from my grandparents and my parents, that it is about how do we stay together as a community. And I think they understood that, whether it was a union or whether it was within your community. And I think we've moved away from that for a long time in this country because we've been so busy fighting over such a small piece of the pie. But what's really exciting right now is we're moving back to those kind of values and that kind of belief system where, you know, it doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter, you know, what your culture is. It's what we have in common. And what we all have in common is being able to provide for our families, raise our children in a safe environment and where they have opportunity.
Well, you know, our mutual friend Ryan Bates with the Alliance for Immigration Rights has been on this show many, many times, Cindy. And I so honor the work that they do. We've been following the Mastronardi case with him, such a disrespectful company to workers. And again, that's why when we talk about, and we're going to get into detail here in a minute on HB 56 and what's happening in Alabama, but, you know, even in our own backyards, literally, you know, 5 minutes from where I'm sitting right now, there are immigrants that are being treated poorly. And I think people need to be mindful of the fact that it literally does touch us. And we can't be ignorant of the fact that these things are happening around us.
You know, and the other piece is to see, you know, what's happening in Alabama, what's happening in Arizona is beginning to happen in other states like Georgia, Iowa, Mississippi. Even here in Michigan, they're looking at anti-immigrant legislation. But the thing is that I want people to see is why is Alabama important to Michigan? Because, again, you know, I said this a year ago, 2 years ago, you stopped hearing about immigration in the way that we were, you know, it usually happens during election cycles where all of a sudden you know, the Republicans and the right want to talk about the problem with immigration. And the reason they want to talk about it and talk about immigrants is because they don't want us to look at the failed policy here in the United States. A failed policy that is not about it. Our problem isn't with immigrant workers. Our problem is with a policy like NAFTA that causes people to come here because they can't make a living. That's taking our jobs somewhere else. And again, it's a wedge issue. How do we get people fighting against each other so we don't focus on what the real problem is? And again, it's jobs. It's good jobs. It's making sure that there's opportunity, you know, whether you're talking about Mexico or here in the United States. And that's why immigration is an issue right now, and that's why it will continue to be an immigration. And the stronger we get in the 99%, the more immigration is going to be talked about so that we start to, it's just like an organizing campaign. What better way to divide workers than to get them fighting amongst themselves?
Well, let's talk a little bit about HB 56, Cindy Estrada. What is HB 56?
So what HB 56 is, you know, it basically legitimizes racial profiling, and what it does is involve law enforcement in immigration. So in Arizona and in Alabama, you will be able to be picked up if you're just suspected, or asked for your papers if you're just suspected of being undocumented. And we know, you know, who would be suspected. It's those that look, you know, a different, you know, than others. It's the Latino workers. The other thing that it does is a little different than Arizona, is that it allows children will be checked as they enter schools on whether or not they have the documentation. When this law first passed, there's, you know, guesstimates of 2,000 kids not showing up to school. And not because they're necessarily undocumented, but maybe they have someone in their family who is. Or maybe they just don't look the same as other children. And so there was a fear. So if you're asked for your papers in school as a child, then law enforcement can get involved and pick up your parents at home.
Well, you know, listen, I just want to briefly read a statement, and I'll let people decide for themselves, Cindy Estrada. But here, very quickly, HB 56, Alabama's draconian anti-immigration law, has been an unmitigated disaster, this reads. The law has legitimized racial profiling, terrorized persons of color regardless of their legal status, frightened children, entrapped foreigners, including business executives, and damaged Alabama's state economy. And according to a new analysis by Sam Addy, director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Alabama, HB 56 could cost the state of Alabama as much as $10.8 billion in economic output and up to $357 million in state and local tax revenue. And I've just scratched the surface, Cindy Estrada.
And isn't that amazing that they're passing a law that would cost, in a time when, you know, the right is saying that we don't have, you know, the money and that we're spending too much, that they would want to pass a law that would cost the state that much money. And that's exactly what's happening in Alabama right now. Just to enforce the law is going to cost millions. There's farmers who are speaking out against the law because they don't have a workforce today. And what's really sad is, you know, it's really not about immigration either. In Alabama, there's only 4% of the citizens are immigrants and Latino immigrants. So why are they, again, I want to go back to this being a political issue. Why are they trying to pass a law like that in a state where they don't even have a high amount of immigrants?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Well, you know, and so, let you know, as an, you know, you work for the United Auto Workers. I would imagine that there is a major investment in foreign dollars in the automotive industry in the state of Alabama. How does that? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
My question, let me ask the question and then we have to take the break. I'll let you answer it after the break, Cindy Estrada. But with that said, why would the auto industry in Alabama want HB 56? You would think that they would want this repealed. You would think that they would look at this and see that they have much more to lose than to gain. And so I'll let you think about that as we get as we ramp up for the break here. This kind of stuff just eats at me. I mean, eats at me in the biggest way. It is wrong, and it needs to be stopped. I mean, it needs to be stopped cold, and it needs to be stopped now. All right, let's take a quick break here. This is First Shift. We'll be back with Cindy Estrada right after this.
First Chair
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Jim, morning. We have an accident out there, 696 westbound at Orchard Lake Road. It's a rollover accident blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up to Middlebelt. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain. That will change into a rain-snow mix later on. A high near 42. Tonight, a rain-snow mix before switching to all snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around freezing. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 45. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brad Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Charlie LaDuff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, he's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the magic carpet ride stopped. We're broke, we got nothing left, and the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money, why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. What about chauffeurs with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas is making $200,000?
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, all wound up. Well, Cindy Estrada is my guest, a vice president with the United Auto Workers. We're talking about HB 56. By the way, if you go to the web, repealhb56.org, repealhb56.org, there's an entire website that's devoted to truth and accuracy and then all the stuff that's important for you to be able to dialogue. This is stuff that you need to be talking about. Cindy, I'd ask the question before the break. I mean, you know, you've got all this investment into the state. I would think that I don't care where the money's coming from. You've got big business there. They're employing people. I would think that they would hate HB 56. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, you would think, but I think this is much bigger than HB 56. I think it's a strategy by the right. When you look at, you know, what's the best thing to do when the economy is not doing well, it's, you know, we see it in history. It's to scapegoat people and then to divide a wedge so that we can't focus on the real issues. So I think when those companies look at the bigger picture, and again, there's networks in those states, that are very much tied to the legislature. You know, I don't want to say there's a conspiracy, but there's a definite, you know, we've seen it happen with the auto industry and scapegoating UAW. We see it happen with public sector workers, and now the next one is immigration. So I think it's part of a bigger picture. You know, in the end of the day, I think a lot of those and those companies realize that it's not the best business decision. But in the end of the day, if we can keep the policies the way that they are in the global economy, if we can keep trade the way it is, for some of these companies, most of them foreign nameplates, they're going to do what they can to make sure that their people are elected.
Well,
and what's funny is the companies out in, just so you know, in Alabama, the Hondas, the Hyundais of the world, they say that they don't want to get involved because they don't want to get involved in our democracy and our decisions. Yet we know that through Citizens United, those very companies are contributing to campaigns across this country.
Of course they are. Of course they are. They don't have to answer.
You can't take $250 million from the state of Alabama and say that you're not going to be involved in our democracy when our taxpayers are paying for those companies to come here.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. Well, what, you know, that obviously takes us to where we need to go. Action. What do you need us? What are you asking us as an audience to do today, Cindy Estrada? What is it that we can do? The average person listening to the show, what is it they can do right now?
Well, one, the first thing is to really think through the issue. I can't stress enough that this is, again, trying to divide us as a country so we won't focus on the real problems. The second is to go to the website, www.repealhb56.org, and to sign the petitions on there. And right now we have civil rights, human rights, and labor organizations coming together asking Honda, Hyundai, and Daimler to right away weigh in and get HB 56 repealed. They're the biggest corporations in the state of Alabama. They have a real voice in that state, and we need to stand them to stand up and say that they're opposed to this bill. So one would be go to the website, you know, look at the place where you can sign the letter, and speak out against this type of you know, racial profiling and this type of scapegoating, because it will be coming to Michigan. We see it coming through all the states.
Well, that really is the point, and you know, this is going to migrate north. There's no question it's going to happen, and especially if people with money start to feel threatened by immigrants. If the immigrants all of a sudden are stepping up and asking to be treated with dignity and equality, the first thing that people with money are going to do is they're going to go to the Republican lawmakers, Cindy Estrada. They're going to say, it's time to create some laws, folks. And you know they're going to have to do it because that's where their campaign cash is coming from.
Right. My hope is that just the voters this year, when they start to hear immigration more and more become this issue of division, that we step back and think, why is it happening? Why are they talking about this now? And then start to think about speaking out and saying, talk about the real policy problems in this country, not immigrant workers. Let's start talking about trade laws, you know, in like NAFTA, what's happening in Colombia, and start to demand change, real change.
Well, you know, I've got to ask, have you been to Alabama?
No, but there's a march coming up in the second week, or the first week in March. Actually, March, Tony. It's the Selma Montgomery March, and we'll be talking about HB 56 there, and I know a lot of people in Michigan and workers are going to support that march in Alabama.
Yeah, in fact, I got an email from somebody yesterday asking me if I would consider going. Unfortunately, I can't, but certainly we'll be talking about it and helping to recruit people. And I said that we would help to recruit people on the show. I've no problem doing that. As I spent a little time yesterday on repealhb56.org, and again, we'll get that up on the Facebook page so that people can find it easily enough. If you spend a little time on there, it's going to take you to some fundamentally really solid information. Ultimately, that's what I care about. I'm asking you all to make your own decision. You all go and make your own decision. But the one thing I know to be true is if we don't start waking up to the reality that this could happen here, and we need to stop it there so that that sends the clear message. But if you don't think it can happen here, you better think again. Who would have thought that we wouldn't that we would be talking about right to work the way we're talking about right to work right now? I've got a list of things that I could throw out there and say, Cindy, who would have ever thought we'd be talking about this or that or the other? Well, we are talking about it because we didn't do the right thing, which was in 2010 vote the right people in. Which brings me to my next question to you: how important is it in this election year that we make sure that we turn the state house back to Democrats and really get the state focused on issues that matter for working people? Because, Cindy, I got to say it one more time. HB 56, if this were to happen here in Michigan, would just be another piece of legislation that has absolutely nothing to do with job creation. In fact, this legislature in Michigan has done nothing in the last 14 months that has anything to do with job creation. Isn't it time we start talking about job creation?
Not just job creation, talking about and what kind of jobs those are. It's something, again, that the right does not want to talk about. I mean, when you have Mitt Romney coming into Michigan and still insisting that the big three that Chrysler and GM shouldn't have received the bridge loans when it's created over 200,000 jobs. Where are they? What are they thinking, right? It's clear that they're not interested in job creation. They're not interested in good jobs. I think this year is going to be so critical. And, you know, we say that every election, but when you look at the bills that they're trying to pass that just hurt working families and hurt people all around, I feel like this is a time where if we don't do the right thing when we go to the polls, we're going to see a very different country. When I hear that they're, you know, under the Arizona law with immigration, banning books that have to do with ethnic studies, when you look at the over 70 anti-union, anti-worker bills that are coming out just in Michigan, there is definitely a strategy. Again, I think it started with the auto crisis and targeting UAW workers. I think it went to the public sector. It's going to immigration. There is a strategy in this country to make sure that us as the 99% aren't able to have a country that that we can be proud about in raising our children.
Well, Cindy, as we have to let you
critical.
As we have to let you go, let me just end this way. They picked the wrong fight with the wrong group of people. We're going to win.
I believe that, Tony. I believe we are going to win. I think people are starting to see what the real deal is in our country.
Absolutely. Thank
and
you.
How we can be involved in solving the problem.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. We'll really look forward to having you on next month. As always, it's been great.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
All right, Cindy Estrada, once again with the UAW. When we come back, Jeremy Moore, you'll know all about that. What is that? Well, on the other side.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident, 696 westbound at Orchard Lake. The left two lanes are now blocked. Traffic is backed up and barely moving from the lodge. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service, today rain, then that will switch to a rain-snow mix later on, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, the rain-snow mix switches to snow after midnight, mostly cloudy, a low around 32. Then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 45. Right now it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight, it's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are and the matters. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
If an apple a day keeps the doctor away, will Apple Inc.'s public image get healthier now that it has hired an organization to monitor labor abuses in the foreign factories that make its products? practically all of the 70 million iPhones and 30 million iPads that the computer giant sold last year were produced in Chinese factories that don't exactly shine with good working conditions. One of the largest, for example, was recently exposed for 72-hour work weeks, forced overtime, child labor, chemical poisonings, deadly explosions, and other rottenness. However, after years of refusing to allow any independent scrutiny of such facilities, Apple honchos have now thrown open the doors of its foreign suppliers, loudly announcing that an outside group called the Fair Labor Association would be free to inspect their Chinese factories. Bravo, right? Apple CEO Tim Cook positively glowed with self-satisfaction, declaring that workers everywhere had the right to safe and fair workplaces. And now he pledged FLA would be able, quote, to independently assess his company's performance. Independently? Not so fast, bucko. It turns out that FLA is notorious among anti-sweatshop groups for its coziness with corporate interests. How cozy? It is largely funded by its corporate members, the very firms being inspected. Indeed, in January, Apple became a corporate member of FLA just in time to go public with its new pledge of openness. Scott Nova is head of the Worker Rights Consortium, a legitimate anti-sweatshop group. As he dryly observed about the FLA-Apple deal, independent monitoring means you're generally independent of the companies. This is Jim Hightower saying, to find out if FLA does an honest assessment or just polishes the apple, go to workerrights.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. This is one of those stories, folks, I need you to pay attention. This is one of those stories where you really do begin to wonder whether the Republicans understand what a freaking democracy is. Let me just briefly give you some background before I get to my next guest. State Senator Randy Richardville yesterday introduced Senate Bill 971, which would change Michigan law to declare that university research assistants are not employees. Now, you've got to ask yourself this question. Why is the head of the Senate worried about such detail rather than about creating, I don't know, jobs or, you know, restoring education funding? Well, I know why, and you know why as well. There are 2,200 research assistants at the University of Michigan that want to form a union. So the Republicans, like they have done with everything else, and they've been, you know, found wrong by the courts. I'll use the Oakland County redistricting case as an example, where they are trying to overly legislate things that they have no business getting involved in, are now trying to do it with the research assistants. That's right. SB 971 will do just that. Well, this afternoon there will be testimony given as to whether or not they should consider adding the research assistants to this bill. And joining me now is Jeremy Moore. Jeremy is a graduate assistant in electrical engineering at the University of Michigan. He is also a graduate student research assistant. That's right, one of the people that would be affected by this. And he'll be testifying this afternoon in Lansing at the Senate Government, Senate Government Operations Committee in Lansing. And I welcome Jeremy Moore to the show. Jeremy, thanks so much for giving us some of your time today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
At some level, I just got to ask the question, are you an employee? Do you feel like you're an employee?
Definitely. I've had a couple of industry internship positions. I've worked in industry before, and this feels like a job.
Okay, well, you know, and I think that you might know what that feels like, so I'm going to just take your word for it. And so all you folks are really asking for is an opportunity to be treated fairly, right? That's really all you're asking for. You're not asking for anything more than that.
Definitely. We just want our right to democratically decide whether we want to form a union without outside interference.
Okay. Now, and I completely get that, and of course I would have no problem with you folks doing that, but I'm not a Republican, so we'll say that up front. And I'm not even asking you to agree with me. It's just my own opining. So, Jeremy Moore, here we go. Here's the question. Of all the things as a student you've had to deal with, student loans, dealing with tuition increases, how are you going to pay for that next semester, so on and so forth. With all the stuff you've had to deal with, all the stuff the legislature can do to make your life a little easier, by determining that you are not technically an employee, does that help you in any way?
No, it definitely doesn't. In fact, I'm driving to Lansing to testify today, and I think this is making life more complicated for a lot of us. It's really causing us more problems.
Yeah, it is just blowing my mind. So explain, if you would, explain to the audience what you will testify today before the committee that is convened to hear testimony on SB 971. What do you plan to tell them today?
Mostly what I'm going to be testifying to is just that the university, the Board of Regents, recognize us as employees. A majority of graduate student research assistants at Michigan have signed cards indicating that we want a union election. And, this is being decided independently of the legislature, and I don't understand why they want to become involved with this process when, as you said earlier on the program, they should be focused on, things that are more important to the state, creating jobs and, fixing real problems instead of trying to get involved with our union election.
Well, again, there are problems within, in fact, funding college education. They continue to cut funding to colleges, although they've given a small amount of money back, 3%. Proposed for next year. That doesn't take away the 15% they cut this year. And again, at some point, as a college student, I guess if I were a college student right now, I'd feel like I'm under assault by the state legislature. They reduce funding for our tuition. We have an opportunity to take this amazing education that we receive that in order to give back to our own community. In terms of a graduate assistant as a job, to say no, you are not technically therefore an employee. You should not be afforded the rights given to employees. In fact, shut up and be grateful, because I think that's what they're saying is shut up and be grateful.
It does seem like that to a degree. And, I think that the research that we do is very important. It's a large source of funding for the university, and, it brings in a lot of outside money in the form of government industry grants. And, I think that we're entitled to our rights as employees.
Well, there's no question. I think that and beyond that, I think it sends a message to the greater community that the work you do, that you do is not respected. And that's, to me, the part that's very troublesome. As an electrical engineering graduate student, I would imagine that you've had to work real hard to get where you've gotten to this point in your educational career, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
All right. I just want to make sure I understand it. All right. Well, anyway, today is in Lansing is when this will all go down, and all we can do at this point is hope that the state senate, that committee, which is, by the way, along party lines, much more Republican than Democrat. I hate to tell you this, Jeremy, and you probably already know this. They're probably not going to listen to what you have to say, but that doesn't mean that you don't have a right to say it. Doesn't mean you don't have a right to get it on the record, and I appreciate the fact that you're willing to give of your time to do that today, because that's how democracy works, brother.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this on your show.
No problem. We'll be, of course, paying attention to this, and folks, what you really want to do is call your state senators and tell them that you want them to vote no on SB 971. Jeremy Moore, thank you for being with us, and good luck this afternoon.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. My pleasure. I don't get it. I don't get it. By well over a two-thirds majority, they sign cards saying that they want to unionize. And all they're asking for are fair wages, like any other employer. Employee-employee relationship. That's all they're asking for. The university is, of course, very anti-union, and they don't want this because it will force them to have to do the right thing. And when you're forced to have to do the right thing, it's uncomfortable. I get that. But if you were doing the right thing to begin with, do I need to finish that sentence? Oh, my. I just don't get why the Republicans feel like they have to get involved in this, because they don't. This is not a fight they needed to pick. That's the bottom line here.
Are you sure it's the Republicans?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure, because I know that they're all about small government and having choices and being able to decide for yourself and freedom. And
No. That's just their line or their lie. That's not their reality. By the way, last year, over 1,200 GSRAs signed cards in support of forming a union. This was well over the 30% required by statute to trigger an election. However, in September of 2011, they delayed a scheduled election in order to fully consider the question of whether research assistants should be considered employees as well as students. Because, God forbid, we wouldn't want them to be considered both now, would we? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why is the state Senate getting involved in this? This is the university issue anyway. That's the part that confuses me, Jeff. This is a university issue. This has absolutely nothing to do with the Senate. It should have nothing to do with the state Senate. Nothing. Yet once again, they're inserting themselves into something they don't belong in. That's the part that I don't get. And yet we're still not creating any kind of legislation that makes this state any friendlier to do business in. And if we are, where are the new businesses? Where are the new laws? Show them to me. I can't find them. Hello, state legislature. Where are you? Stop taking vacations and then just showing up to promote stupid legislation that does absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing to help others. Nothing. SB 971 is, again, anti-union legislation. That's all it is. It's just more anti-union legislation. As if all our legislature has to do is sit around and think up, gee, what more anti-union legislation can we come up with? Why do you continue to assault labor? Are you so afraid of organized labor? Oh, that's right, they're growing again. We keep forgetting that, don't we? I'm going to wait for the call, Jeff, till after the break. We just don't have enough time before the break. Amazing. This just, again, this is one of those where you just scratch your head and you wonder. No one wins. No one wins under 971. This is not a win-win situation. Oh, okay, so maybe the University of Michigan then can continue to treat their student employees disrespectfully and continue to pay, underpay them and not care for them the way that they need to. As Jeremy said, these folks generate a lot of income for them.
Well, and I don't even know that they're forming a union. Maybe you know, I don't, to get better wages. I think it's just better treatment and overall, and have a voice and a say in what goes on with their, you know, their respect to
all of the above. All of the above. You're right. It's all of the above, Jeff.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing everyone thinks of, though, is, oh, they must be complaining about their wages. It's not just that.
It's not just wages. No, it's the way they're treated, the hours that they put in, et cetera, et cetera. It's all they want is fairness. The first question I asked them was, what are you guys looking for, fairness? Yeah, we're just looking for fairness. Republicans don't play fair. All right, Greg and Warren, you're up next. Stay with us. We got to get to the break. We'll do that. Come back and wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiato.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiato here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage.
Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Brandon Jessup, the CEO of Michigan Forward.
If this came easy, it wouldn't be worth it. And to fight a law that says erroneous is this, that stinks the way this law does, the law that puts dictators over communities, somebody's got to stand up to that. And we're glad Michigan Forward, ASPE Council 25, the Michigan Education Association, we're all glad to stand up and say, hey, we said something about this law, and we put it on the ballot for justice to decide on which way this thing goes.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Yeah, 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We are going to get to the phones in just a minute. I do want to thank Mitchell Rivard with Progress Michigan for helping us out, getting Jeremy Moore for us. I'm really glad that we're covering this story and happy to do it. Let's go to the phones and welcome Greg and Warren to First Shift. Greg, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a real quick comment on what you were just talking about with this legislation they're trying to do with the aides and the college students. The Republican Party is not, in reality, a true political party anymore. It used to be. It's not anymore. It's nothing but a tool for big business. You shouldn't even call them Republicans. It's the big business party. They have one agenda. Their agenda is to make sure that people have no voice in anything, in their representation, in the laws that are passed, in any legislation, and the quickest way to get that, the only obstacle that they really have in front of them is unions. Unions are one way that common people can kind of get together and talk to each other and share ideas and then form a political movement because the people are already unified. And that's why they hate unions so much. And these representatives that stick their nose into things like that instead of tending to the people's business, which is what they were supposedly elected to do, are just following their marching orders. They're following. They had this agenda in place before they got there. They're nothing but liars and stooges. And you got to call these so-called Republicans out for what they are. These are really bad people. They want to enslave the American people. They want to give you no rights whatsoever. And they will lie and use any tool they have at their disposal to do it. And it's about time the lemmings out here woke up and started paying attention and get rid of these bums. These people shouldn't just be thrown out of office. They should be prosecuted for what they're doing.
Well, you know, Greg, I feel your passion. I can't disagree with anything you've just said. Certainly, you know, my frustration, and I take a look, we'll take a look at, again, Senate Bill 971.
The legislature has no business in getting involved with the University of Michigan workplace issues, and this is as invasive as it gets. It doesn't get any more invasive than what they're doing. And basically, what they're telling a whole generation of young people is your voice doesn't matter, and that should be criminal. And you're right, 100% correct. That should be criminal activity. But let's forget that for a moment. Greg, what about the basic idea and decency of what democracy is supposed to mean? What happened to that?
Well, some of us out here still believe in that, and that's those of us that are concerned care about it. But you have a segment of the population that I can't explain it. I can't understand the psychology of it, but I guess some people just want to be followers. That's why I call them lemmings.
No.
These Republicans, this political entity out there, from on the national level all the way down into the state level, and we've watched it go on in Wisconsin. We've seen what these governors have done. They have an agenda. They have an anti-social, anti-democratic, anti-American agenda. And I can't say it any stronger than that without using some bad language. These are really bad people. I understand that.
No, Greg, I understand that, and I feel your pain. Brother, you listen to this show. You know that I agree with what you're saying. You know that you and I share that frustration. Trust me, when I'm not on the air and I'm having a couple adult beverages with people of like mind, if you and I were to do that, yeah, there'd be some interesting and colorful language being thrown around. I'm tired of the average voter. The average voter pretending like they don't have a say in the way things go. And they do have a say. Yeah. And until they wake up and realize that, we're going to have to continue to fight a fight as a minority. I'm willing to do it, and I'm not going to give up.
Well, I won't give up. But, you know, there's a lot of days I just shake my head because I hear people calling your show, and I talk to people, and I don't understand. I don't want to say stupid, ignorant, and maybe might be a more applicable word, but I don't understand people, you know, because of their biases, whatever they have built into them, and they're just their allegiance to Fox News. You know, why can't people just look at what's going on in their own life and see the effects of these policies and how negative they've been on them and their family, and then they still turn around and they vote for these people that basically are laughing at them behind their back. You know, it's just amazing to me, but I guess you got to keep fighting. You can't give up.
Greg, you do need to keep fighting. Thank you for the call, by the way. You do need to keep fighting. Do not give up, and we'll, of course, look forward to sharing this responsibility with you as we work our way through the election year of 2012. You know, obviously anybody listening right now is feeling Greg's pain and passion and disillusionment. I mean, it's hard when you care. That's the part that really bothers me, because I am one of those people. I really care. And unfortunately, you know, it's hard when you care and you see good, really basically good people that just don't have the intelligence enough to realize what's going on around them. And he's right. They are. The other side is laughing. They're laughing at us. It's hard to be laughed at. And anybody that's ever had that happen knows how true that is. It's hard to be laughed at. It's very difficult to know that the other side is getting the best of you. And so when you have to sometimes put up with a lot of stuff that you wouldn't normally put up with, there's a reason you do it. You do it because it's it ultimately, the end game is what you're really concerning yourselves with. That's, you know, ultimately what you've got to, it's the end game. And I understand the goal, so that keeps me focused. I don't worry about the people that have no voice and have no audience that basically piss in the wind. I got a handful of people that listen to this show that love to piss in the wind, and they have no audience. I mean, at least I have an audience. They have no audience. I guess I'm their only audience, and they think that at some level that, you know, their little griping is getting to me. What they don't understand is I'm far too busy empowering others and myself to the reality of what's going on, and that in the process of that discovery, in the journey of discovering the truth, that only makes me stronger. And so go ahead and take your pot shots at me. Go ahead and take your pot shots at me all you want. I don't care. I had made a comment yesterday that if you don't like what we say, don't listen to the show. And somebody actually had the audacity to think that their opinion mattered on that. No one's listening to you. You literally don't have an audience, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm not here to give you an audience. I'm not here to give the other side an audience. I'm here to fight for what's ours, what should rightfully be ours. And if you would like to participate in that, as many of you do, then we're going to accomplish something. And ultimately, it's about accomplishing something for the good. God bless America. All right, that does it for us for today. I'm out. Jeff and Anthony, thank you so much for everything you do. You've been an amazing audience, as always. Off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. Or if you'd like, you can find me in my office. Just go to the website, and there's my office number. As always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Subtle traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. 696 westbound at Orchard Lake. That accident has cleared. Traffic still remains backed up, though, through the mixing bowl. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain. That will switch to a rain-snow mix later on this evening, a high near 42. Tonight, rain and snow switches to all snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around freezing. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 45. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.